Welcome to the Nation's Blind Podcast, coming to you from the headquarters of the National Federation of the Blind in Baltimore.
Hello, listeners. You're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast, and this is Anil Lewis with
Melissa Riccobono.
Ooh, Melissa.
How are you? I'm
doing great. I just got back from the Nebraska State Convention.
Oh.
Awesome convention. Terrible flight.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's not your fault.
Flights are, but that just makes it bad when you're coming home particularly.
Yeah, exactly. Cancel flights and then, rebooking. And anyway.
But you're here now.
This is true. And because of that experience, many more people than not got a chance to meet me during Meet the Blind Month.
Well, that was a great thing. You're just doing what you can for the NFB.
They didn't meet the best me, though, considering what I was going through. But overall, we did it well. We powered on through and got back safely. Awesome convention. Amy Burrish is doing a great job there in Nebraska. And I'm glad that the Federation family and the spirit is still alive, really all across the country. But it's nice when I get a chance to step outside of the Jernigan Institute walls and recognize that our family's out there thriving and having fun and enjoying living the lives they want.
Well, that's wonderful. I'm glad you got to go to Nebraska.
Yeah.
Sounds like a fun affiliate. I was supposed to go a couple years ago, and then my children got sick, and I wasn't able to go. So someday I'll get to Nebraska.
Absolutely. And I did hint around that it is Meet the Blind Month, October. Hooray, Meet the Blind Month.
Hooray.
And we want everybody to go out there and meet the blind.
That's right.
I think it's appropriate for us to go down this path, so we'll see whether it goes well or not. But just as we were talking before recording the show, there have been some mixed opinions about our efforts around Meet the Blind Month.
Yeah, and that's one thing I do appreciate about social media when conversations are handled correctly, which this one I think has been handled very well, very respectfully. There are certainly are people that think Meet the Blind Month is wonderful. And then there are others that just kind of say, well, it doesn't hurt us, but why can't every day be Meet the Blind Day?
Mm-hmm.
Or why do we have to have a special month for people to come out and meet me? Or why is this? And so Anil and I thought we would kind of break this down a little bit and give our opinions about this Meet the Blind Month that we've branded and had going strong for, my goodness, quite a few years now.
Yeah. And I understand the argument when people are saying that, it's not enough to just have it for 1 month. But that's really not the intention. The intention of Meet the Blind Month is to really focus a lot of energy, effort, and attention toward making sure that we as members get out there and actively engage in our communities and make sure that, society knows that blind people are fully capable, fully participating members of our communities. So we're not saying, okay, after October 31st, shut it down.
No more meeting the blind.
No more.
Go back in your house.
that's just like February is Black History Month. Is that the only time we celebrate Black History? No. We celebrate it, but it's nice to have that concentrated time to make sure we put some effort and some energy behind it. And I think that the Do You Dream in Color video screenings, really promoting those during the month, getting our affiliates to go out and set up the kiosks and the tables in various locations to really show, sighted individuals how we do things in alternative fashions, just to educate them. I think it's important. And it's something about that whole big, collective energy moving toward this that, it's really kind of rejuvenating, So we do work throughout the year to have people meet blind people. But it's nice to know that during that 1 month that we're all doing it together. There's that feeling of solidarity and reflecting each other's energy. So it's meant to be fun, exciting, and hopefully empowering.
And I think it goes beyond tables and kiosks and things. Mm-hmm. That's one way to do a Meet the Blind Month activity, but there are so many others. I know the Greater Baltimore chapter had a wine tasting event.
Mm.
I know that at least a couple years ago, our TLC chapter in Maryland was just going to go to a college football game and do some tailgating.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they would just happen to be blind people there.
Tailgating, it's a great way to meet blind people.
Yeah, man.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. So again, I think sometimes what gets lost is that it doesn't necessarily have to be a big table or a big mm-hmm. display. It can mm-hmm. just be getting out there, being in the community, some kind of a social activity.
And those are more impactful, I think.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think tables are great. I think they have their place. I think all of it has its place. I think, though, that we need to be thinking outside the box and looking at all the things that we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Do You Dream in Color film, that has had a huge impact. It's been really cool. A friend of mine came to...
Let's tell our listeners who the Do You Dream in Color film is.
Yeah. Sure. It's a story of four blind teenagers, and they have various goals. One wants to be the first person in her family to graduate from high school. One is a skateboard enthusiast. One wants to study abroad, and...
The other is a heavy metal rock band.
Thank you. That's right. The heavy metal rock band guy. Yeah. And the film really highlights their very struggles. Authentic life experience, which mm-hmm. includes their struggles, particularly with the education system and with attitudes of society. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine came to the screening, you know, sighted lady. Love her to pieces because she just gets it. You know what I mean? There are just certain people that you meet and... Yep. She's like my sister from another mother, I think. we joke that even growing up, we have lots of very similar experiences. And we're like, you know, are we the same person?
That's
like,
great.
But, you know, she came to the Do You Dream in Color screening. And she was just so complimentary about it and said, it's such a great film. There's so much in it. You know, there's a lot of mm-hmm. diversity within the diversity. So mm-hmm. all these teens are blind, but... one is biracial, one is Hispanic. I mean, there's just, mm-hmm. there's all sorts of different things. And then she said the biggest impact for her was the discussion afterward, because we had some blind and sighted people that led a little discussion afterward so that people could really talk about what their thoughts were about mm-hmm. the film and ask any questions that they might have. And she said that was extremely beneficial for her. She was really glad that she stayed for that discussion. So it was very cool to hear somebody completely outside of the National Federation of the Blind, you know, sighted lady that certainly knows a little about blindness now because she knows my family. Mm-hmm. But it was great to hear her perspective. And she's really encouraging me to advertise it and to try to get the film shown at my children's school because she thinks people should see it.
I'm glad you had the time to have the discussion after the film.
Yeah.
I think that's what really makes it really powerful. The film itself is very powerful because it opens people's eyes to situations that they normally would not even thought existed.
Yes.
But having that discussion after creates a safe space for people to ask those questions to get a more comprehensive understanding about what we do and how we do it and the struggles we face and how we overcome the barriers that are in our paths. You know, I just recently did a presentation over at BGE, which is a power company here in Baltimore, to just their employees, their employee resource network group there. And it gave me an opportunity to really give them an opportunity to ask what I always call the outrageous questions, you know, because I love the kids will ask the outrageous questions because they're unfiltered. Right.
Yes.
And the adults want to know the answers to these questions, but they feel like either they should know the answer or they're too embarrassed to ask the question. So creating that safe space for people to ask those outrageous questions, the only way we really kind of pierce through that veil of the misconceptions and the stereotypes that preexist, you know, before they really get to know us.
Definitely.
Yeah. But we hear more about other Meet the Blind activities later in the podcast. Chris is going to tell us a little bit about that. We have some really interesting stuff. We have an interview with Chris and one of the local businesses here. And hopefully that's another way we get out and meet the blind. We spend our money in the different places and they recognize that, you know what? The money blind people have spends just the same.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Exactly. So I want to encourage people to get out there and meet the blind in a way that makes you generate some revenue. So how about that?
That's right.
So I'm really happy about what we're doing here. I hope that you guys are really happy about what you're experiencing through the Nation's Blind Podcast. So let's get to the meat of it, right?
Yeah, let's have our Talking About Our Federation segment with Chris and a local business owner. You're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast.
This is Chris Danielson with the Nation's Blind Podcast, and I have the privilege this morning of talking with my good friend Craig Martin. Craig is a local businessman here in Baltimore where the National Federation of the Blind Jernigan Institute is located. Craig, thanks for being on the Nation's Blind Podcast.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So you have a local business here in Baltimore that some of us have done business with. Tell us about your business, first of all.
First of all, we happen to be 12 years old today.
Oh, it's your 12th anniversary today, which is October the...
17th.
All right.
Yeah, 2005. Yes. So that's probably the best way to start out is 12 years ago, I was on a mission to reinvent the barbershop experience. Interestingly enough, the concept I currently have is much different than when you first started visiting us, Chris. But, you know, we definitely changed the landscape of how men's grooming and haircutting is done. The concept when I originally started was to take the best of the old, and I looked at the traditional London barbershops, so that did the shaving, and the barbers, you know, would wear nice clothing. They were considered professionals, and took that idea and then merged it with all the technology we have today. So we had a TV at every station. The hot towel cabbies were state of the art. We allowed people to make appointments via technology through online booking portal, which was a very new concept at the time. So that was the original concept that we started, and over the years, over 12 years, we've transformed and took over a 6-floor building and added you know, a spa, a cigar lounge, a clothing store, men's tailor shop, women's tailor shop, clothing alterations, and then this over a year ago we opened a bar restaurant. So we're doing quite a bit more, but with the same idea of helping our clients discover their best.
Excellent. So it's almost like I tell people it's kind of a one-stop lifestyle portal almost at this point.
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay, and you alluded to it, but how did you start? I think you have several blind clients now, but how did that start?
So I think there were several gentlemen that were all unbeknownst to themselves coming to QG, and I think that's how. I don't think you were referred by. In fact, I think your driver referred you.
Yes, he did.
To us initially, but we had 3 or 4 gentlemen, I think, all associated in some way with the NFB, were coming, and I think you kind of found out later that you were all part of the same ecosystem at QG. So it was just, you know, at QG, we want to treat everyone that comes in our door, no matter what their background, like they are very special, and whatever we can do to assist their stay and make it better is what we try to do. And, you know, I think we just started getting referrals at the NFB. You guys started talking, and you know, I think we have at least 25, 30 individuals that enjoy using our different services and buying retail and having restaurant and maybe a few beverages of an adult nature upstairs. So I think that's how it started.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I didn't even realize that there were, you know, as in the beginning, I didn't even realize there were that many of us going. And what do you feel like you and your staff have? So you've had an opportunity to meet the blind. It is Meet the Blind Month here in October, and you've had the opportunity to meet the blind in a business capacity and sometimes in a social capacity as well, when some of us are enjoying those beverages and some of the great food you have. So what do you feel like you and your staff have learned about blind people?
I don't know if we've learned anything about blind people per se. I think it's how we treat people that, again, regardless of who comes in the door, we want to get to know you. And I think, you know, you and I are a good example of you coming in and just through our providing service, we got to know each other. So I think it's just, again, you know, QG is about trying to provide an additional layer of service, gaining your trust so that we have a relationship and then you feel comfortable going, hey, can we try this or can we try this? Or I can recommend to you, hey, this might be good for you. You know, so I think we understand that you have specific needs and our job is to help you. And through that process, we just personally go, hey, we have a lot in common and we became friends through that process.
So, but in a, and that I think that's exactly correct. But in a lot of ways, it's not that much different than from the individualized service that you're providing to all of your customers, right?
Yeah, everyone, regardless of what their need might be, some people don't, can't match their clothing. and it's obvious, meaning that they might be colorblind or you have a very obvious case of an issue you may have, but we see through all of our clients some issue or some problem that we need to solve. So it's not about you specifically. It's about our clients specifically and us finding out how we can best serve them.
Excellent. Well, I think that's true. I think you guys have done a fantastic job. And even among each of us, our needs are different. But I know, in the tailoring space specifically, and even in the haircut space, you guys do a great job of describing what you're doing and asking me and others great questions about what it is that we need. So you've done a great job in that respect. And you've even allowed us to, we haven't had to do much of this, but you've allowed us to graft some accessibility onto certain things.
Yep.
Like you had an elevator keypad that we brailled for you because it was a touch panel type of thing.
So we have a speakeasy style bar where you have to know the code to get up. So many times we're going into the elevator and putting the code in for our clients. But you pointed out, hey, if you're not here to help me, would love to be able to just remember the code and dial it up. And Steve Booth was the one that helped us through that process and finding a proper one. We went through a couple reiterations, but he was able to find one that our sighted clients could actually read.
Yeah.
And you guys could actually feel. So, we the first couple of times didn't work too well, but we found a good middle ground.
Yeah, absolutely. So we appreciate you working with us on that. And it was wound up costing you nothing, I believe, mm-hmm. except some time. And
I think we bought Steve lunch that day.
Which he appreciated, and we appreciate you being able to work with us on that very minor accommodation.
I think you also had some feedback some early days in our website of accessibility too that we used your feedback to tweak.
Yeah, I think that's right. And again, that's an example of us as blind people working cooperatively with a business to resolve that problem. A lot of people think we do that through an adversarial process, and we don't, particularly when businesses are our friends. We like for all businesses to be our friends, so we want to make sure that happens. And you guys have done an outstanding job with that as well. So let me say, on your 12th anniversary then, good luck, continued success, and thanks for being such a great partner with the Blind of Baltimore and the National Federation of the Blind.
Yeah, we really appreciate your support. You guys have been great partners for the time we've been open.
All right, Craig, have a great day, sir.
All right, cheers. Have a great one.
And thanks for being on the Nation's Blind podcast.
All right, we're back. That was worth it. Just hearing about I might have to start going to the QG now. I wonder if Chris will give me the code so I can go up to the speakeasy.
I don't know. Well, yeah. Maybe President Riccobono will.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's a QG person, too.
He's a QG guy.
Yeah.
No
wonder these guys have been so excited about going to get haircuts.
Yeah. Yeah, it's more than haircuts. Even Austin. Now, Austin never came to the speakeasy, yeah. but he was having some issues last school year mm-hmm. with some pain and things, and so he actually got a massage at the QG.
Oh, wow.
He was like, oh, that was so amazing. I want a massage every month.
You sure you didn't make it to the speakeasy?
I'm positive.
All right, okay, all right. Just checking. I've gone to the QG, but I guess definitely before all of this expansion. And the cuts there are good, and the massages are great. So, yeah, I encourage people to go out there. And I'm pretty sure there are other venues that offer equal kind of a luxurious experience. But it's nice to know that we've developed such a relationship with the local community owner, and we've been able to really help them make their environment more accessible to us.
That's right. And I love how Chris pointed out that people often think that it's an adversarial, that's our first approach to folks when they don't have accessibility.
Mm-hmm.
And that's certainly not true at all. We always try, especially if they're friends of ours, to mm-hmm. approach them first. Actually, my children's school, they got a new website built over the summer by an intern. And I mean, interns are great. You can get a lot of great things done sometimes for low or no cost.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes the finished product isn't exactly what you
well, you get what you
might
pay for.
Hope. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the website, it's okay, mm-hmm. but there's unlabeled things now, and it's just a little bit tougher to navigate. So I emailed the executive director and said, just FYI. And she was very, she heard it, and she was very she apologized a bit, but it was more, what can we do to fix it? How mm-hmm. can we work together to mm-hmm. fix it? And that's really the best of both worlds. If you can get it fixed and you don't have to go to court or yeah. have it be a big
to do.
Yeah
exactly.
It's just, let's have a conversation about this. Let's mm-hmm. let's fix it.
And if it's still there, I mean, the great synergy that, like, we could get some of maybe Jonathan's students over at Towson to do it
to
as
do
a project.
It. Yeah.
You know, to go back and remediate it so that they can stick to that low or no cost
right.
place and make it more accessible. So,
right.
Again, it's developing those relationships, recognizing that it's really purely selfish for us. We want to make sure that we can engage in the world in a real way. We don't want to have to fight our way through all the time.
That's right.
And the partnerships with friends, they have so much more fruit when it comes to fruition. You know, we don't only create an accessible space, but we create an engagement where then they're sharing that good news with other entities out there too. So it's more like, wow, look at how easy this was, and look at the overwhelming impact that it had on increasing our accessibility, not just to blind people, but also to just more people, period.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then, of course, if they meet other blind people, mm-hmm. they're a little bit more educated and can say, hey, I know some great blind people, or maybe not even mm-hmm. blind people, but people maybe that are just losing their vision.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's can be really powerful
right.
a lot of the time, that it's not just who you know now, but it's who you might know in the future, who you mm-hmm. might meet, or somebody that has a child who's losing vision, or a parent who's losing vision. And then those connections can be made in a very real, authentic way.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm looking at making some connections in an authentic way with the advent of all of these new autonomous vehicles. I'm looking at being back out on the road again, you know, maybe getting my Mustang convertible back out there on the road.
Oh, Mustang convertible.
Yeah.
Elizabeth will never leave you.
Oh,
she wants
right.
to ride in a convertible so badly. Anybody out there who's listening, if you're in the Baltimore area and you have a convertible, you would make a 5-year-old's day if you could bring it. She is fascinated. She wants to explore one. She wants to ride in one. Of course, it's getting a little cold. I actually had to wear a coat.
I didn't even care. I would have my top down and my heater blasting.
Tell
Elizabeth, if
goodness.
She waits maybe 3 or 4
okay.
to 5 more years,
okay.
I'll be able to take her out in my convertible because
my
the autonomous
goodness.
Vehicles are coming.
That is yeah. super exciting.
And it's not even about the technology. The technology is overwhelmingly improving each and every day. But we have to make sure that once the technology is out there, that the antiquated rules and regulations related to blindness, I mean, related to driving, don't continue to exist. So we're out there working on legislation to make sure that we have the legal right to operate these vehicles. And I had the opportunity to talk to Chris about it and really introduce some other stuff around Meet the Blind Month during our news segment on the podcast.
Great. Well, let's listen to In the News. You're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast.
All right. It's time for In the News with the Nation's Blind Podcast. This is Anil Lewis, and I'm here with
Chris Danielson,
our In the News man. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great, Anil. How are you today?
I'm doing quite well. Thank you. We got a couple of items, I guess, that we want to talk about in the news, and then we're going to have a segment within a segment. I think you had an opportunity to talk to some of our chapter members as well.
Yeah. I talked to some chapter and affiliate leaders about what they're doing for Meet the Blind Month, and they're doing some great stuff, including with the Do You Dream in Color film. But
oh, wow.
We'll get to that in a second.
Okay. Well, I love that little teaser out there. Get everybody ready.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Everybody sit down, get your, you know, get your coffee or whatever you need in hand and so that you can enjoy that segment within a segment. But I wanted to quickly say that we're very excited. We announced that we're very excited about a piece of legislation that's been introduced in the United States Senate.
Another one. We're excited about lots of pieces of legislation being introduced.
I know, yeah. I know. But this one, you know, so folks know we've been working a little bit on this issue of autonomous vehicles, mm-hmm. self-driving vehicles,
yes.
and making sure that blind people are going to be able to take full advantage of that technology. So
I'm ready.
Yeah, exactly. Me too, man. So what we're excited about is that there's actually legislation in both the House and Senate, but the version that is introduced in the Senate, it's called the AV START Act, and don't even ask me to remember what that starts for.
Okay,
what that stands for. It's on our website.
AV,
though,
I bet that's autonomous vehicle.
Autonomous vehicle,
I get that
yes.
part, yeah.
And then it's something about.
Don't do it, Chris.
Yeah,
power
on through. I'm not gonna do it.
It'll be in the show notes.
Yeah, it'll be in the show notes. But it's the AV START Act, and this law specifically includes provisions that are designed to make sure that manufacturers of these vehicles incorporate accessibility into the user interface design, and also to make sure that the states don't put in place licensure requirements that actually prohibit blind people from getting licenses to operate autonomous vehicles.
Excellent. So in our struggle to create independent access to automobiles for blind people, we worked, many of you may remember back in the 2010-2011 term period with our Blind Driver Challenge, making sure that blind people who obviously have the intellect to actually operate vehicles have the opportunity to operate the vehicles. And now that this new technology has evolved so that they're going to be autonomous or self-driving cars out there, we just want to make sure that the technology that's used to engage or interact or interface with these vehicles is accessible to blind people. That's the nuance of what we're trying to do, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. We want to make sure of two things. One is that they have user interfaces that we can use. So if a vehicle has a touch screen and it doesn't have any audio output, then obviously that's not going to do us any good. Mm-hmm. We have to be able to, you know, exercise whatever control over the vehicle that everybody else can, and mm-hmm. including putting in, you know, inputting where we're going, for example,
right.
and
being able to change that on the fly and make the dynamic right. decisions that any other operator. And then the other piece you're saying is, you know, traditionally the driver's license, look at the eye chart. Okay, now
right.
which side of the light is blinking? You know, we're going to be moving away from that because it's not going to be absolutely essential, because the cars are going to be able to do a lot of that. They're going to be talking
right.
with one another. So what are we looking for there when we say, is it an operator's license where it's driving to?
Something like that. You know, right now, a lot of, you know, the danger is that a lot of states will just say, well, okay, to operate a self-driving vehicle, the licensure requirements will just be the same as for operating a vehicle now.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we don't want that, because driver's licenses now, as you say, are based in part on your visual acuity.
Right.
Right. And obviously, that's not necessary with autonomous vehicles, or won't be necessary when they're fully ramped up.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's the hope. And so we want to make sure that states understand that they need to grant an operator's license that is reflective of that, and that says, you know, if you are blind, as long as you
know the rules of the road and meet
those other requirements, you will be able to operate these vehicles. So that's
awesome.
What we mean by non-discriminatory licensure requirements.
I'm ready.
I think is how it's worded.
I'm ready, man. I'm ready.
I am too, man. I'm excited.
Well, we have a whole episode on this one day, because there's a lot of nuances around what some people are thinking are the good things and the bad things about it. But we don't have time to do it now, because, again, we have a segment within a segment.
That's right, because October is Meet the Blind Month.
Hooray!
And we thought what it would be – yeah, exactly. And we thought what it would be fun to do is talk to some of the chapter and affiliate leaders out there about what they're actually doing for Meet the Blind Month. And
mm-hmm.
this will give people an idea of the activities that are going on. It'll also maybe give some of our newer leaders that are listening, or newer federationists who are listening, what goes on and what they can do as leaders to celebrate Meet the Blind Month.
Sounds like fun stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So
you're getting ready to listen to the Nation's Blind Podcast within the Nation's Blind Podcast.
Right. Here are three interviews with chapter and affiliate leaders about Meet the Blind Month. So first up to tell us about Meet the Blind Month activities is Jennifer Kennedy of the Salt Lake City chapter out in Utah. How are you doing today, Jennifer?
Doing very well, Chris. Thanks for having us.
It's our pleasure, Jennifer. It's great to talk to you. What are you guys up to for Meet the Blind Month?
We are capitalizing on the holiday weekend at the end of October. We have a chili cook-off that we're hosting. The idea is to help showcase the talents of our chapter, and we have quite a few chefs. So we will have folks brewing up their chili and trying to decide who has the best chili. We're also going to be having a costume contest. Deja Powell has for many years coordinated a fashion show at our state convention, so it's a described costume contest. We'll also be brailing out the answers to what people are voting, so we'll be able to talk about Braille, and then also asking each of the chefs to talk about some of the alternative techniques that they used when making their chili. Our second activity is the Sunday the 29th. We will be doing a free screening of Do You Dream in Color at the University of Utah at Union Theater. We're very excited.
Excellent. Excellent. I'll be eager to hear how that comes out because, of course, we've been talking about Do You Dream in Color for a while and how it's an important film to help people learn about particularly the educational challenges, but also other challenges that are faced by blind youth. Have you had a chance to see the film yourself yet?
I have only seen it in bits and pieces, so I'm anxiously awaiting my package coming so that I get the opportunity to see it firsthand prior to us showing it.
And the chili, the chili cook-off sounds delicious. I mean, you distracted me a little bit because I was sitting here going, chili.
Well, it's a perfect October activity, being cold outside. Everybody loves to get a little warmed up, and I'm anxious to see everybody's different spin on the chili that they make at home.
Is there anything special about chili in Utah, or is everybody just going to do their own particular spin on it?
Their own particular spin on it. Chili bread bowls are kind of a thing here, where they're the very large yeast rolls. It's not the sourdough rolls that you get in San Francisco, but it's the same concept. So it's just a basic bread. And we are doing tickets for that. And what we're planning to do with the proceeds is to share that with our NFB of Texas and NFB of Puerto Rico affiliates. We want to be able to help give back to affiliates that we know are doing good work for the hurricane victims.
Well, that is a terrific idea. That's certainly very much needed. And if any of our podcast listeners are in the Salt Lake City area, how can they find out more?
On our website is a great place to do it, nfbutah.org. You can also come to our Facebook page. The NFB of Utah has a Facebook page, and the Salt Lake chapter has its own Facebook page, or they can reach directly out to me, msjenniferkennedy@gmail.com.
msjenniferkennedy@gmail.com. There you go. All right, Jennifer, thanks so much. Good luck with everything, and maybe we'll get back with you to find out how everything went.
Thank you so much, Chris.
You're very welcome. Thank you. So next up, we have Sheila Wright, who used to be from my home state of South Carolina, but now resides in Missouri and is the president of the National Federation of the Blind in Missouri. How are you doing today, Sheila?
I'm doing great.
Good. Thanks for being on the Nation's Blind podcast. What have you got going on for Meet the Blind Month out there in Missouri?
Well, we worked with our governor, who is a new governor, to get a white cane proclamation passed. And so he did that early in the month, which meant that this past week we released a press release from the National Federation of the Blind talking about that and the reason for the White Cane Proclamation, and sent along the proclamation from the governor, and we were able to get several newspapers to run stories on the White Cane Proclamation and the National Federation of the Blind. And it's really good that it was in some of the smaller cities where we're working to build the federation.
That's really a great strategy. I'm glad that worked out well for you. So this was the week leading up to October 15th, White Cane Awareness Day.
Yes.
Terrific. How many stories did you get written?
I know of three, but we released the press release to the Missouri Press Association, so we keep seeing results of that.
Excellent. Well, you've learned your PR well. Good work on that. What else is going on? Anything else planned for the rest of the month?
Yes, our Columbia chapter is having a trivia night in Columbia, and they invite the public to come in and bring a team and participate in the events of the evening, which shows wine people doing all aspects of putting on an event. And so that's pretty exciting. And many of our members from other parts of the state will try to participate in that event.
And is this general trivia, or is this NFB trivia, or a little bit of both?
It's general trivia, and they use it both to inform the public about blindness and to raise money for their chapter. We've also been doing a lot of distribution of Kernel books and literature, and we'll continue doing that throughout the month at major shopping areas. We have had several members throughout the state to go into school classrooms to do presentations to children about blindness and the abilities of blind people and how to guide someone if someone needed help and what Braille is. And so that will also continue throughout the month.
Super. Well, it sounds like you're doing a great job of allowing the public to meet blind people and find out how we live the lives we want. And I understand your local chapter was also very busy even before Meet the Blind Month, back in September.
Yes, we had a walk for independence in Kansas City and pulled in people from both Missouri and Kansas for that walk and followed it up with a picnic. It was an information education project and fundraiser. And our Jefferson City chapter had one last weekend, which I was able to go down to and participate in, and they got an article out of it from the paper and a visit from a local Lions Club, which made a donation to help support the programs we sponsor.
And Sheila, one more quick question. How can folks who may be listening to the podcast who are out in Missouri find out more about what's going on there for Meet the Blind Month?
We have a webpage that is www.nfbmo.org.
Okay, super. So go to that webpage and you guys keep the upcoming events up to date. Thanks so much, Sheila.
Have a good day.
You do the same. And now I'm joined by a lady from my home state of South Carolina. Welcome to the Nation's Blind Podcast. How about you introduce yourself?
Thank you. My name is Tiffany Mitchell. I am from Columbia, South Carolina.
Terrific. I know Columbia well, my old stomping grounds as a University of South Carolina law student. You are the president of the Columbia chapter, is that correct?
Yes, I am.
Have you guys got any plans for Meet the Blind Month or any events you've already had?
We do. We actually had our White Cane Walk on this past Saturday, the 14th. We had 17 participants, and everyone was asked to walk at least a mile. We had quite a few people that did more than that, and we had a good time. We had a table set up, had some literature to pass out, and everyone just had a good time.
So tell me a little bit more about a White Cane Walk. Was this just blind folks, or was it sighted folks using canes too?
We had blind folks. We had some sighted guys. Didn't have any sighted people using canes, but we had blind folks using their canes and some blind folks out with their dogs.
Okay, terrific. What else do you have planned for Meet the Blind Month?
On the 28th of this month, we are going to a very popular local barbecue restaurant here called Little Pigs. We are also going to have a table set up. We'll have balloons and all that type of stuff to draw everybody to our little area and have more literature to pass out and just meet everyone that comes to the restaurant or, you know, happen to be walking by.
Excellent. And is this just a fundraiser or is it just a meet and greet?
Just a meet and greet. Yes, sir. Just a meet and greet.
Excellent. And what are your goals with the the Blind Month events that you've planned?
Well, just to make people more aware of the Federation, for one thing, and to also just educate them on blind people. I think a lot of people just have a lot of little crazy perceptions about visually impaired and blind people. So just want to encourage them, just meet them and encourage them and tell them more about us.
And what can our listeners do if they're in the Columbia, South Carolina area and want to find out more about your events?
Well, just come out to Little Pigs Barbecue. The address is 4927 Alpine Road in Columbia. Come out and meet us and greet us. We'll have literature to pass out. We'd love to talk to you. And just would like to tell you more about our organization and just familiarize you with blind people. I think a lot of people have perceptions, you know, about visually impaired and blind people and just don't know a lot about us. So we encourage them to come out, ask any questions, just and talk with us.
Excellent. And that's on October 28th at Little Pigs. You've given the address and at what time?
We will be there from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m.
All right. So it sounds like a good opportunity for folks to go out and have some good barbecue for lunch and meet the blind.
Yes, sir.
Thanks very much, Tiffany. Good luck with everything.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And thanks for being on the Nation's Blind podcast.
Great in the news segment. Really fun to hear what other chapters are doing around the country.
Yeah. During Meet the Blind Month. And not just during this month. We're hoping that they continue throughout the year.
That's right. But, you know, in special celebration of it this month, it's great to hear what they're doing. And Chris did a nice job with those interviews. And it was also great to hear about the AV Start Act.
I am ready.
I know you're ready.
Life is a highway. I'm going to ride it all night long. All right. So, Will, you can edit that. Make it sound like I'm really singing the song.
You know? No, I like it better this way.
Scary. You should join me, though. You know, you have the singing in your blood. So.
I do, in fact.
Yeah. Yes. We'll have a podcast, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll get Melissa to either open it or close it with a song.
Ooh,
how about that?
I wouldn't mind that. In fact, I'm exploring some ways to put music back in my life in a real way. So
yeah, I saw your little Facebook post. You going to give us a little insight on that or, you know, keep that a secret to you?
It's got to be a secret for a little while. Okay. But you know, maybe at some point I will.
Melissa's working on a project.
I am.
Hopefully you'll let it debut, you know, on the Nation's Blind podcast.
Well, I could do a song or two, maybe. Okay. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I had the privilege
I see you trying
down.
To get away from this. All right, I'm not going to push you on it. Okay, all right, go ahead and shift the focus.
I'm going to segue now in a very smooth way.
Yes, go right ahead. Speaking of projects.
Speaking of projects, I don't even know how to do that. But I did.
I had the project.
It wasn't a project. It was a privilege.
Okay, good.
I had the privilege this month of interviewing President Rick Abono for our Presidential Privilege segment. And we get to talk about some of our favorite things, which is parenting and our kids.
Parenting is one of my favorite things.
It is a great, great, great thing. Yeah. And then there are some days where you think, oh, this is really hard.
Yeah,
but it's
nice when we have the opportunity to parent just like anybody else. The thing that makes it hard is when people think that as blind people, we can't parent. And that's the part that makes it difficult. I learned how to parent because my mom parented me.
Right.
But she never had to parent as a blind person. So she was never faced with, you know, the misperception that, you know, blind people don't have the capacity to parent. And there are different little nuances, you know, that you have to really deal with as a blind parent that you wouldn't have to otherwise. One of the stories I love to tell is when Amari was little. That's my son. He's 20 years old now, so I at least got him through those first 20 years successfully as a blind parent. They become more expensive as they get older, just letting everybody know. But when he was younger, as a toddler, we were walking through a little strip mall. And of course, people are looking at him, oh, you make sure you take care of your daddy. And oh, I used to hate that, you know. But then it wasn't so much them saying that, it was the impact that it had on him. And I remember one day specifically, he was walking around and it was really getting to him. And I could tell. I said, so, man, what's wrong? He says, everybody's just staring at us. So, you know, I could have gotten upset and tried to do something. But this is, in the moment, this is what I did. I looked at him. I stopped and said, man, I just need you to know that when you have a dad that's this good looking, people are going to stare. That's exactly what he did. He laughed just like you. And from that point on, I could tell when people were staring because he just started chuckling. Yeah, exactly. So it's just really learning to deal with those particular aspects of parenting as a blind parent.
And I think just recognizing that parenting is hard for everybody. Mm-hmm. And just teasing apart sometimes, is this a blindness thing or is this just a parenting thing? And the more I talk to other parents, so many things, and of course there are always going to be things that we as blind parents deal with that are a little different. But a lot of the general parenting things, they're hard for every parent. And I think that's really what we need to just keep in mind as parents who happen to be blind. We're parents first. For sure.
And I think it's very appropriate that two of my favorite parents had an opportunity to talk about parenting as blind parents during the presidential privilege. So let's take a listen.
You're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast, and I'm Melissa Riccobono, and I have the privilege of sitting down with the president of the National Federation of the Blind, Mark Riccobono. How are you?
I'm doing great. Parental privilege is advised.
Parental privilege is advised. Well, before we get to the parental things in the privilege, let's talk just a little bit about your travels. You've been on the road quite a bit last week or so. So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about where you've been and what you've been doing?
Well, for the last many weeks, the work of the National Federation of the Blind extends to all corners of the nation and to some degree the world. So in the last month, I've been to California and to Washington State to visit with technology companies, and I've been to Louisville for the regional meeting of the World Blind Union and the annual meeting of the American Printing House, and also to the convention of the National Federation of the Blind of Georgia. So there's federation stuff happening in all of these places, and it's great to go check them out, and it's always great to come home.
Definitely, and to come home to your family.
That's right.
Yeah. So let's just talk a little bit about our Blind Parent Initiative with the National Federation of the Blind and kind of tie it into Meet the Blind Month, because I think part of being a parent certainly is being out there in the community with your children and doing the things that all parents do. So why don't you talk a little bit about the initiative and then maybe about some of your experiences, maybe our experiences being out in the community with our kids doing things that parents do.
Well, you know, some people say, well, I mean, Meet the Blind Month, what does that really mean? And if we're so diminished in society that people have to need a month to meet us, that's a problem. And we don't really view it that way. Meet the Blind Month is really about focusing our energy on being out there to tell our stories and help people get introduced to the things that blind people might be doing that they just haven't imagined. And it's not too hard to imagine blind people being parents, but you know, a lot of people just haven't met a blind person who is a parent, or they don't think about the day-to-day, what it means for a blind person to raise a family, manage a household. And our Blind Parent Initiative is meant to help connect all the dots in that regard, provide the resources to blind people thinking about becoming parents. What do blind parents do? How do they do it? And that's not tremendously different than resources that all parents need, especially new parents, but it does have the element of including the non-visual techniques and tools that blind people use and a real safe space for those things to be discussed. And creates the awareness so that when blind people face discrimination in parenting, which often happens in hospital settings with social workers. People get called in for all sorts of strange reasons having to do with blindness, and then blind people face conflict in the parenting process, which they wouldn't face if they weren't blind. And so our initiative is aimed at helping with all those things, and it's authentically driven by blind people who are parents. So that's what's really cool about it.
It is really cool. It's one of the most favorite things that I do to help the National Federation of the Blind. We did just reissue our Parenting Without Sight brochure, which is a brochure for social workers, attorneys, people making decisions about adoption, custody, but also for blind parents ourselves. We just reissued. It looks brand new. There's some new photographs and a little bit more detail. And so that's very exciting. And of course, we have our website, blindparents.org. And so if you haven't had a chance to check out that website, please check it out. We need more stories. We need more content. We really need you to figure out what you would like this website to be, because it's not just a website that President Riccobono and I are putting together. It's a website for everyone in the National Federation of the Blind, and we really want it to be broad-reaching.
You're so no longer pregnant on the cover, so that's good.
Yes, that's, we're not even on the cover anymore.
It was many years that you were pregnant on the cover.
Yes, yes, there was. That's true. That's true. So why don't we just talk a little bit about, I don't know, your thoughts about being out there in the community, maybe favorite stories about being out there doing things with our kids. I mean, I think that's really a side of you that our listeners don't get to hear about a lot. They hear a lot about what you do professionally, but you obviously have a very family-oriented side. And what listeners should know is that you're a great father. So I'd love to have you tell maybe a story or two about just being out there in the world and things that you've really enjoyed doing with our kids.
Well, I guess to share a couple of things. First of all, I think that having children grow up in the community that is the National Federation of the Blind is a real benefit because we continue to evolve and grow as blind individuals. And although we think we might have everything figured out, you know, society continues to evolve. We continue to face new situations. And I think having our children involved in the National Federation of the Blind, aware of our philosophy about blindness, really extends the empowerment that we get from this organization. So just being out in the community and doing the things that parents do, those opportunities exist. And also just to really have some of the laughs that, you know, fun times that families have together. So, I don't know, I guess, you know, for me, the great thing about being out in the community is just walking around and having some of those conversations that you can have when you're walking the community, and that happen when people encounter you and have the weird experiences with you that people sometimes do when they don't understand blindness. And that's really an opportunity to talk about what blindness means. But then there's just also the things that happen. You know, one time I was over at Patterson Park here in Baltimore with the kids, and we went over to a coffee shop. And so I had all three kids, and I don't remember, we had balloons and all sorts of crazy stuff we were carrying from whatever we had done before that. And we were going to go find some lunch. And since we just came from the coffee shop, I'm certain I was juggling a cup of coffee and probably my iPhone for some reason. And I was not exactly using my cane appropriately. And in Baltimore, there are lots of steps everywhere. So I came across a little set of steps that I tripped over because I wasn't really using my cane appropriately. And it was fine. But then a couple of days later, I was walking around with Austin, and he said, "Man, I wish I would have had a video of that incident. That would have been awesome." And I said, "Why? Why would it have been awesome?" And he said, "Well, you know, because then people would know that even the president of the National Federation of the Blind should use his cane." To which I left him on the street corner for a couple of days. I mean, having children is humbling in many ways. because also they're experiencing the world for the first time often, and it opens your mind to things that you might have long ago made up your mind about. And I think that that's pretty cool. And parenting is hard for everybody. You know, you have to balance having fun and doing the family things and with the reality of you got to go out and make money and pay bills and clean the house and get the groceries in and all of those things. So for me, it's just really the minor moments of being able to engage in the family stuff that I think is really fun. Those small moments really are the ones that, that make parenting, I think, something that can't easily be described. In some ways, they're the boring routine moments of the day, whether it's the sitting at the breakfast bar for the bedtime routine when just interesting, weird discussion happens with the kids or whatever. So in some ways, it's kind of the more mundane things or what might be thought of the more mundane things that I think are really what makes parenting interesting. And, you know, for all parents, we don't really know what we're getting into. And I think that's true for blind parents as well. And this is where our resources become important because we need to help blind people separate the this is a parenting thing from this is a blindness thing. Now, how do you get access to the kids' homework in an accessible format? That's a blindness thing, and we can share techniques on that. But how do you deal with the kids, you know, wanting to dress like maniacs or I don't know, whatever. You know, those
coloring
are just parenting. Those are just parenting things, you know. Right. So,
and I think that's really important to remember. And I think that's the more you have a network, I think that really helps you put some of those things more into perspective. What's a blind parent thing and what's a parent thing?
So I have am expected to travel all over the country for the National Federation of the Blind because we have members all over the place. And so often I will have companions that come with me, especially that Oriana, our middle child, assigns to be with me. This weekend I had Belly, the cat, with me. Belly is a small cat. Sometimes I'm asked to travel with bigger companions. So Belly went with me to Louisville and Georgia and had a good time, and we proved that we were together by posting our picture on Facebook. So oftentimes when you'll see me out and about in the nation, I'll have somebody that I've been assigned to watch over me while I'm out and about, and I like that the kids assign helpers to me.
Yeah, it's important to them because, of course, they miss you. They understand the work that you do is really important. I think that's the other reason why their involvement in the National Federation of the Blind is so important, because they really do understand the work. And of course, Oriana and Elizabeth are blind kids, so we want them involved in other ways and for other reasons. But it's very important for all of our kids to be involved because they really do need to understand the work that that we're all doing to try to make things better for blind people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sitting down with me. I've enjoyed talking parenting with you, and hope that you have another month of smooth travels, because there's lots more travels coming up for you. And hopefully you'll have some good companions that Oriana will assign to you to bring with you.
Well, it's always good to be home.
Absolutely. You're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast.
Well, I hope you were privileged, having the privilege.
I've
usually
always
have privileged. The privilege.
Yeah,
it was nice to share the privilege.
Well, thank you for sharing the privilege.
Well, again, you guys are my favorite blind parents.
Well, we appreciate that.
And I think that what you do is exemplary, and hopefully we can continue to mentor other people who are faced with the potential of parenting as a blind person. And I think that if we do it right, we'll be many, many, many more wonderful children like Amari and Austin and Ori and Elizabeth out there in the world, making it a better place.
That's right.
Well, we're coming to the end of the Meet the Blind Month podcast of the Nation's Blind Podcast, getting ready for a wonderful Thanksgiving month of November. So we have some really interesting things coming around in November. We have additional fall conventions that we'll be celebrating, and there's a very special birthday right here in November.
There is a special birthday in November.
Yeah. Whose birthday is it, Melissa?
It's the National Federation of the Blind's birthday.
Oh, look at that. The
77 years young.
Oh, the National Federation of the Blind is a senior.
It is. wonder, we are.
I wonder if NFB is a member of AARP. We have to see. Do we get discounted coffee? I could go all night with this, but I won't because it's probably not as entertaining to others as it is to me.
That's because you're you're living it.
Yeah. I teased when I was over in Nebraska, over at the seniors division. Is this where the old guys are? I call them old geezers. That's a long story behind that. So maybe we can fill in that sometime later. But we appreciate you guys listening to the Nation Blind Podcast.
We'd love your feedback. Please give us a call, 410-659-9314, extension 2444.
Mm-hmm. You can email us at podcast@nfb.org.
You can like us on Facebook. Just search for National Federation of the Blind.
All right. You can follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is @NFB_voice.
So there's all sorts of ways to connect with us at the Nation's Blind Podcast.
Our webpage, www.nfb.org.
Our YouTube channel, Voice of the Nation's Blind.
And we have
not Voice of the Nation's Blind. Nation's Blind.
That's right. The Voice of the Nation's Blind is our blog post.
It's our blog, and the blog has been revamped. So if you haven't checked out Voice of the Nation's Blind lately, please check it out. You can actually search much more easily now. You can sort content by category. It's a really exciting new look for the blog, so please check that out.
And all of these ways of reaching us and contacting us and staying informed will be in the show notes.
Definitely. Thank you so much for joining us, and remember, you can live the life you want.
Blindness is not what holds you back.
Thank you for listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or feedback, send an email to podcast@nfb.org or leave us a voicemail at 410-659-9314, extension 2444. Also, don't forget to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter @NFB_voice. Check out the Nation's Blind channel on YouTube. And visit us on the web at nfb.org. Until next time, remember, you can live the life you want. Blindness is not what holds you back.